The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're just going to be perfectly honest with you. We are so far behind that we have nothing prepared for the show.
Well, meaning not nothing.
Well, we had spent our weekend getting caught up on the TV show The Flash. The song. Yes.
So we were behind on that because we were a full season behind.
Yeah, we watched the entire thing mostly this weekend.
So, no, we were a little behind. We were only a little behind because we're only one season behind.
A full season.
Yeah, but now we caught up, and now we're going to talk about it.
Yeah. So
we came prepared.
You just don't like me to say that.
No, I don't.
Well, because I don't know if it's going to take up the whole hour. I feel like we're just going to be able to talk about a whole bunch of things, and so people should get used to the stream of consciousness way we're going to do this episode.
I'm pretty sure if they've heard us before, they're already used to that.
Yeah, but at least we usually have a theme or something. Like, we're definitely going to talk about The Flash, and then we're going to probably talk about a whole bunch of other things.
That's okay. All right, let's talk about Flash. Now, that particular song, it's from Flash Gordon?
Flash
right?
Gordon, yes.
Which is not The Flash.
Correct.
Right? That's something different.
Right, that's a completely different thing.
It's a movie, right? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's a movie from the early 80s, or at least that version. Flash Gordon's been around since I believe the 1940s.
Well, isn't that Queen?
That's Queen doing that song, yes. Okay. But it was like a radio show that got turned into older movies, and then it was like redone in the 80s, I believe, and they're talking about redoing it again.
Well, I'm behind on that, so. But it works because we're talking about The Flash.
The Flash.
The Flash. Ah. So, the CW Flash. I've really enjoyed watching CW shows, but I don't actually watch very much of them. Like, we've started them all and then kind of tapered off and only really stuck with The Flash. Well, we never really got into to Arrow.
Right. We never started Arrow.
Yeah, we never started Arrow. We started Supergirl.
Yeah.
And it was all right, but meh.
And then
we started the, what are they called? The Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, again.
I finished out both first seasons of both of those shows.
Yeah, I did not.
Legends was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And Supergirl's fine. Their crossover events are great.
Oh, yeah, and we do watch those. But I don't know, the Flash just really kind of held on to the attention span. I like the way it's written. I like all the pop culture references, shocking, that they do. Their characters are just really fun, and every season they have a cliffhanger that just leaves you wanting more.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing.
They're like the Saw movies.
Exactly.
Definitely the first season of The Flash just was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the twists that it took were fantastic. And it's going to be hard. You're going to be hard-pressed to beat the first season. But I feel like every season they do something that is cool and fun and unique. They sometimes rely on time travel too much, and if you do that too much, it gets a little murky.
Mm-hmm.
Have we talked about The Flash before, or is this brand new to us?
I think this might be brand new.
Okay.
Yeah. But, just an interesting, you know, point about the show. They do use time travel a lot. Like, a lot, especially in this last season.
It's easy to just, it feels like super lazy writing.
Right. But they also make use of the multiverse, which is actually really fun because Tom Cavanaugh is in the show, and he's actually directed some of the episodes too, and he plays Harrison Wells from every conceivable world. And so this one actor gets to play a character from different dimensions, and it's so fun to see the different personas he takes on, even though they're all somehow Harrison Wells.
Well, sometimes they just make cameos because they need to find the Wells that fits the situation that they need.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like a French Wells, there's a mime Wells, there's, well, I guess that'd be the same almost. there's a British one, there's a steampunk, there's just a dumb one. There's a whole bunch of different ones.
He's almost Rick from Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
He's the super genius scientist from the multiverse.
Yeah.
But Tom Cavanaugh plays him so well and so differently.
Tom Cavanaugh is definitely their golden egg. Their golden tail. Like he is a definitively great actor.
He really is. And
even when the character is not doing something that is stand out great, you got to remember that it's because he's playing a completely different character.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, wait, wow. Like, no. And he has moments where he's talking to himself in certain things. And it's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely their ace in the hole. The thing about the Flash is normally very sarcastic. He's so fast, he's, of course, quick-witted.
Right.
So he's sarcastic, he's more of a jokester type of, you know, personality. And I feel like they've kind of given the Elastic Man that personality.
Mm-hmm.
And Grant Gustin, who plays the Flash, he plays it very straight.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say he's brooding quite like Batman does.
No,
but
he's not. He's nowhere near on Batman's level. But he does get his moodiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's it's like what Peter Parker would be if Peter Parker was on Xanax.
Okay. Yeah, I'd agree to that. Although, I mean, I still like Grant Gustin's Barry Allen.
I very much do. I'm not complaining. I'm saying it's a different take than what you normally see from the character.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. It plays well. There's no complaint for me.
Yeah, and this is something that bothers me about the DC television universe versus Marvel, is that they don't cross over into the movies the way Marvel does. Because in Marvel, once you are a character, you are that character. And so, and we saw that with Agent Coulson, was the same actor, Clark Gregg, mm-hmm. or Greg Clark?
Greg Clark.
Okay, Greg Clark.
No, Clark Gregg.
Clark, yeah. That's what happens when you have two first names.
Yeah.
So he played Coulson in both the Marvel movies.
Clark Gregg.
In both the movies and on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And
so did Haley Atwell.
Right. Played Peggy Carter. In both. So it was a really nice transition. And so it felt like a universe.
And even people who play characters in either one first carry over. You get cameos from the it's not the Wolf Pack, but what the group that Captain America is in when they flash back to in Agent Carter. It's all the same actors from that group. Or from Agent Carter, Jarvis, they actually added him in. He was a TV character only that when they introduced him, he was on Agent Carter, and then in Endgame, he's in there.
Right, that actor, yeah.
Yeah, they keep them all. Yeah. So even cameo stuff, it keeps it very consistent. So if you're watching the movies or you're watching the TV show, you never feel that you're watching something separate.
Right, whereas with DC, it is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they could make a Justice League movie with the same tone as the Flash TV show, it would be a lot better. It would be a lot more fun to watch.
Oh, I would love to see what the Arrowverse version of Batman would be like.
Yeah.
Because the Arrowverse version of Superman and Lex Luthor from Supergirl are actually incredibly good.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tyler Hoechlin, who plays Superman, is wonderful, and I know him best from being on Teen Wolf, the TV show. He's one of the best Superman I've seen.
Yeah.
And I just totally buy him as that. And surprisingly enough, what's his name from
John Cryer.
John Cryer as Lex Luthor may be one of the he's definitely the best live action Lex Luthors I've seen.
Wow.
Like, you wouldn't expect John Cryer to be the best Lex Luthor.
the annoying brother from Two and a Half Men.
Oh, yeah, no. He's fantastic. If anyone hears this and they want to get a John Cryer, just give him just my praise. Because my thing that I said the entire time is that anyone who's played Lex Luthor is not playing them. I don't like him, any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse Eisenberg, sorry, that's not the right character. It's not none of these actors' faults.
Yeah.
This is how they're written and how they're cast. Mm-hmm. They should not have been cast. This is everyone else's problem but the actor.
Right.
Kevin Spacey was horrible.
Yeah, he really was. There wasn't really much of that movie that wasn't horrible.
Gene Hackman may be okay. It's debatable at best.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, John Cryer, Lex Luthor, because I say, personally speaking, Lex Luthor should be played by Billy Zane.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I'm sticking to that.
Now, Clancy Brown voiced him.
Correct. Clancy Brown voiced him in the animated series that looks like Billy Zane.
Yeah.
And Billy Zane sounds like Clancy Brown. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And what is Billy Zane doing? It isn't like he's probably – he's not like he's making tons of movies where they're like, we just can't get Billy Zane. No, you need to cast Billy Zane. Done.
Yeah, absolutely. And so all this to say that it was almost ingrained in me to not like Ezra Miller as The Flash because I've been watching Grant Gustin be The Flash for the past – and so to me, he's Flash. And – what's also amazing about this show is that it's very true to itself because it had the original Flash from the 90s
mm-hmm.
play this Flash's father. And mm-hmm. so there was the continuity there. And then,
there's even a crossover one where he plays the same character. Jason Wesley Shipp or something. It's like Wesley Shipp, I know is his name. And he plays a version of Barry Allen using the same costume or a version of the same costume from the 90s.
Yeah. So it's very true to itself. But so I've grown comfortable with Grant Gustin's Flash. And then to see him portrayed completely differently in the movies, it was very jarring to me.
However,
wasn't the smooth transition of Marvel.
However, Ezra Miller's rendition of The Flash is very, very good and exactly what The Flash is actually his personality supposed to be.
Yeah.
So I know you're used to the Grant Gustin, but if you're going by what The Flash's personality is, Ezra Miller's is actually very good.
But they lulled me into this one, you know, mindset.
The costumes are better on the TV shows.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
They absolutely are.
You have a budget for movies, and the TV show is, for lack of a better term, running circles around you.
Yes. But what's also great about The Flash and really all the shows on the CW is how seamlessly they go together. Mm. So they do what the DC universe as a whole can't, and make sure that all your storylines match up and that you share actors. I mean, when Supergirl premiered, she premiered on CBS.
Right.
And they still had a crossover with The Flash on the CW.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to broker that deal between networks. And now Supergirl is now on the CW.
Mm-hmm.
She's no longer on CBS. So all of them are on the same network. And they're constantly crossing over. And
I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with Batwoman. Sorry, Batwoman.
Oh, yeah. Now she's on there, played by Ruby Rose.
Yeah. The problem with it is that, of course, and it gives Bruce Wayne a cousin that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bruce Wayne's been gone for 3 years, and so Batman's gone for 3 years. And because.
Okay, side note, mini rant. How does nobody figure out that Batman is Bruce Wayne? Like, seriously. Seriously. There's this guy who has a big old car driving through the streets, who has seemingly unlimited resources with all of his gadgets. Are we not going to say, oh, it's the one rich guy in town?
Right.
Who's never in the same room at the same time?
Right.
Like, he's at all these fancy parties, and all of a sudden he leaves and Batman shows up. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, absolutely. And the crossover episode that introduced Batwoman, they went to Arkham, and so they referenced tons of bad guys. Mm-hmm. Like they name drop, like with the names on the cell doors or in the storage, they had all the names on all of their, some of their devices without having, without showing any real bad guys.
Well, that's cool.
So I'm wondering to what extent they're going to be able to use the actual bad guys in Gotham. Cause just because Batman's gone doesn't mean that any of his rogues gallery is.
Right. And this production company is also really good at making the bad guys cool. Like, they've redesigned these villains to be so much better than they were in the animated series.
Like, you look up so the Reverse Flash is awesome in season one.
Mm-hmm.
The Zoom is awesome from season one. They kind of stick to the cool, to those. But the other ones that they've introduced in later seasons, like Savitar,
mm-hmm.
he got a whole different story and a whole different suit. He's amazing looking. Captain Cold.
Captain Cold is really awesome.
Yeah.
And he's spoiler, he's a bad guy who turns good. Well, he's on another show now as a good guy, so
he was.
Not that big of a spoiler. But
bigger spoiler, he was.
He was. But they redesigned him to be a very interesting and intricate character.
Well, season 5's Cicada is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like they design these characters. Even Cisco Ramon's vibe was introduced in the early 80s, and he was more of a breakdancing superhero.
Yeah.
And they redesign, they do these things. And it's really cool. Like their designs, they know when to stick with the originals and they know when to change them. I don't have any complaint about anything they've done.
So I think a lot of the credit of what we love so much about this really goes to Greg Berlanti. Mm-hmm. He's the creator and executive producer. He's also the one that gave us Doom Patrol.
Oh, really?
Yeah. we have talked a few weeks ago about how much we love that DC Universe series. So he's really behind all of these shows.
I really wish that they would put all these – I'm assuming it's because of course, the Netflix deal that they have. But I really wish that they would be able to get these on the DC Universe.
Yeah.
But at least we have Netflix.
Because he's behind all of the CW shows.
Mm-hmm.
Flash, Arrow, Supergirl,
Yeah.
He's also behind Chilling Adventures of Sabrina and Riverdale, so mm-hmm. we kind of have to forgive him a little bit for Riverdale because it kind of went off the rails.
Seems like a busy guy.
Also Titans on DC Universe and Doom Patrol. And
so he takes franchises and changes them around.
I kind of think the only smudge on his record here is that he was a producer on Green Lantern.
No. Yeah.
The 2011 monstrosity.
Well, you know, you heard what they're doing now, that they're having J.J. Abrams enter the DC Extended Universe movies.
I love J.J.
And he's going to be doing, apparently, a brand new Superman that's younger, and Green Lantern.
Okay. I mean, willing to give it a shot.
But I think that there's rumors that once Arrow's done, the character from Arrow, I don't know his name, but because of the crossover episode, it's hinted at that he's Green Lantern. So they may be doing a Green Lantern Corps show.
Oh, okay.
Green Lantern Corps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we should take a break.
All right.
And then we will talk about a little more Flash, a little bit of other things. We just, again, stream of consciousness. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. And we will be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. Ukulele master Jake Shimabukuro returns to Redding's historic Cascade Theater for an evening of energetic and passionate performance Friday, October 18th. Jake Shimabukuro takes the ukulele across the music spectrum to places no one could have ever imagined. Don't miss this ukulele virtuoso at the Cascade Theater, October 18th. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2. September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And before the break, I played a song by The Cars. Actually, not the lead singer. That was not Rick Ocasek. It's another guy who passed away earlier on. And then right now, this is Eddie Money's Take Me Home Tonight. We lost both of those this last weekend.
We did.
So it's a lot to take.
It was a tough weekend for music.
Comes in threes. The third one is not really. Did you hear? It's not really a musician. It's
Cokie
Roberts.
Cokie Roberts. Yeah.
ABC, legendary ABC news journalist. Mm-hmm. So it comes in threes.
Yeah, she was working right up to the end there. She was still doing a weekly segment on NPR where she would answer political, talk about political topics. Man, so
lost some talent this weekend.
It was, yeah.
I think there's a couple of Eddie Money songs that I really like, but I think I had more of an affinity towards The Cars myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Rest in peace to all of them.
Yeah.
And I guess we can get back to talking about the Flash. So, Greg Berlanti.
Mm-hmm.
So, we were looking it up, and it's been announced that he's directing Booster Gold.
Yes.
Booster Gold is a hilarious comic book character from the DC Universe. Now, is that going to be the feature film?
That's what it looks like.
Okay. So
there's very little information.
I was wondering if it was going to be another CW show.
I do not know.
Because that would make a fun TV show, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Booster Gold is pretty much a superhero for hire wanting to make money.
Right.
He comes from the future, and he comes back in time using stolen tech and just that he used to make himself a hero. And he's not great at it, but when he does, he's pretty good.
Yeah, the biggest rumor on here is that Nathan Fillion has shown interest in playing the lead,
mm-hmm.
which would be fun.
That would be fun.
But that's about it.
Nathan Fillion is just one of those guys that can play, that has the ability to play almost any superhero.
Oh, yeah.
He's just kind of got that superhero feel.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wanted him for the Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. Now, he's voiced superheroes, correct?
Oh, yeah.
He voiced Green Lantern?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the superhero I know him best as, of course, is Captain Hammer.
Yeah, Captain Hammer, corporate tool.
For all the Dr. Horrible fans out there.
But yeah, so I think if you're gonna like the Flash itself, the TV show is so far 5 seasons in, it's holding up really well.
And it's real easy to watch. You don't have to be like. We picked it up after quite a while of not watching it, and we're able to get right back into it, and it's just a easy, fun show.
Yeah, and usually their seasons, they have one big bad every season.
Right.
And they will have the story progress, but they'll have, like, episodes in between, not even counting the crossover episodes, but they'll have episodes in between that don't necessarily focus on that big bad because they get deterred with other things.
Right, they get distracted by other bad guys
or other things just happening.
Right. And so they deal with that. But then there's this overarching character that they have to battle from pilot or from premiere
to
finale.
It's a way to keep the feeling light because mm-hmm. usually the things that have to do with the big bad are usually pretty intense and dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
And if you had that for an entire season, it would
get heavy.
Yeah. And so these other ones, these side stories and everything, really help the emotion and the mood and the storytelling for it. And I think it's a formula that works really well.
And I think everybody does a really good job on this show. I mean, from the principal actors down to just the guest stars, one-offs. Because this show could very easily be a caricature. Like, it could top and be mm-hmm. ridiculous. But even though they're in these ridiculous situations, it's played very real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even these characters that are, you know, that they are over the top and they have these powers that are just ridiculous. And they sometimes even speak incredibly cheesy lines. It kind of calls itself out for it.
Well, not only that, but, like, it has, I think this one gives Star Trek a run for its money in the fake pseudoscience jargon.
Oh, there's
jargon.
So much pseudoscience.
Like,
so much.
Like, they will just make up stuff. It almost seems half the time, not half the time, but there's a lot of instances where I look at it and go, they just made that up as they're going along, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, but it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Like, again, it's one of those things where you are watching it and you go, that's fake. But yeah, it works.
It does. It's not, and I think one of the reasons is because it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's very meta at times. And one of the characters, Sisko, he's kind of their tech guy. He is very into pop culture and makes all the references and always wears, like, super nerdy T-shirts that are kind of an inside joke in and of themselves. And he kind of lightens the mood. And although he does have his own serious episodes where he'll get emotional. And the actor who plays Sisko is very good at that. Like, Carlos Valdez. He's very good at kind of writing both sides.
Oh, he's great. No, Sisko's character is spot on. And what's really hilarious is when the show references Marvel Comics.
Oh, and they do a lot. Yeah, a lot, a lot.
Like there's one where they're saying, oh yeah, she should join the group. But he's like, but no, I don't want my new girlfriend to know that I'm on a team of superheroes. He's like, but she hangs around a little bit, maybe gets too close to some radiation. Suddenly we got a Spider Woman. What do you think? He's like, she can be that. She's a photographer. She can be your Peter Parker. We have a new spider person on the team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's hilarious. Like that's a Marvel character being referenced on a DC show. Love it.
Well, I love that, and you got to think that when you're watching a DC or a Marvel movie or something, do comic books exist in their world? Because the subjects of the comic books are real. So are comic books a thing? Well, obviously, in the Arrowverse, which is this micro DC universe on the CW, comic books exist because Superman exists. Because Marvel exists. Spider-Man exists, and that's kind of funny to think of The Flash reading a comic book with Spider-Man in it.
Right, yeah. No, it's great. But, yeah, but we've been super busy, so like I said, check out The Flash.
Yeah, it's a real fun show, and it's available on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
so you can catch yourself
every
up.
Episode right now, because the new season hasn't premiered yet. And the thing about Netflix gets is they have a deal that it will the new episodes get released 1 week after they air.
Right.
So as soon as the season's done, you have it.
Yeah. So seasons 1 through 5 are on there. Season 6 premieres on the CW on October 8th.
There you go.
So we're getting close.
Getting close. I'm excited. Couple weeks away. Yeah.
And we'll see if we can stay on top of it this time.
Oh, the crisis on Infinite Earth that they're planning is going to be insane.
And that's more crossover, right?
Oh, way more crossover. So it's infinite. So the multiverse kind of like implodes with characters. So they're going to have Kevin Conroy playing Old Man Batman.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. Old Man Bruce Wayne.
Is this going to be the first time he's gotten to be on
film?
This is
the first time he's gotten to play Bruce Wayne. In live action.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing. I cannot wait to see that.
Brandon Routh, who is on Legends of Tomorrow as the Atom, gets to reprise his role as Superman, as an older Superman, who will be fighting the Tyler Hoechlin version of Superman from Earth 38.
Now, he was the Superman
from Superman Returns.
In the movie with Kevin Spacey as
yes.
Lex Luthor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that he looked like Superman, like he looked like a correct Clark Kent, but...
They're trying too hard to make him Christopher Reeves.
But that movie just wasn't, it just wasn't good. And you know what, that was the very first movie I ever saw in IMAX.
Oh, really?
And it was kind of a disappointment.
Well, and the thing was that I feel like Brandon Routh has improved a lot over as being an actor. Because what he was before that, which was surprising, is he was just a soap opera actor.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't use the word just, but he was a soap opera actor. And that is all he had done up to that point.
Right.
Usually you have to do those, you know, low-budget movies before you can break into full-on feature films. Mm-hmm. And he went from being super soap opera to superhero.
Soap opera actors are hardworking, though.
Well, they are very hardworking. Now, yeah, don't get me wrong. That's why I kind of kicked myself for saying the word just, but it was implied that he didn't do anything in between that the transition movies.
I'm always secretly, you know, impressed with soap operas as a whole, because here you have a show that airs new episodes 5 days a week with no reruns and no seasons. That's insane. I mean, no wonder their storylines go berserk. I mean, if you had to write that many episodes, you'd go insane too.
Yeah.
So of course they have to have twins and false deaths.
Oh, yeah.
and all that. I mean, those are some hard working people.
Yeah, they got a lot of big plans for the crossover episodes.
That's awesome.
The Infinite Earths is going to be insane.
Very, very cool.
So yeah, check out The Flash. And yeah, speaking of writing, we'll talk about other things when we come back. We're going to take a break, and you are listening to We're a Little Behind. We will be right back.
I'm here with Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. And Bruce, there's some tax credits that are coming to an end.
The 30% federal tax credit has been around for a number of years now, and it's starting to ramp down. And this is the last year of the 30%, full 30% federal tax credit.
And Powerhouse Solar sells and installs generators?
I'm a C10 electrical contractor, and we've been doing a lot of generators this summer. A lot of people just want to have the security to be able to stay in their home when PG has these rolling blackouts. And if there's a fire or for other reasons, it just gives the customer security to know that they can stay in their home.
And Bruce, what's the difference between renting and owning your power?
When you're a utility customer, it's like you're renting power. When you have a solar system by Powerhouse Solar, you're not only, you know, making a payment to an asset that you own, but you're stopping the ever-increasing rates of PG&E or REU. So that's the beautiful thing about having solar, is that you are now an owner of your power that you produce, as opposed to being a renter of power.
Come see the design showroom at Powerhouse Solar, 4616 Caterpillar Road. Call 275-5600 or powerhousesolar.com.
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, inviting you to our annual black and white Boondocker Ball. Dinner and dance and costume contests, Saturday, October 5th at the Anderson VFW Hall in Anderson, California. Live music, buffet dinner, and live auction. Sponsor tables are $500. Tickets are $35 each. For more information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280. We'll see you there.
Carl's Jr. presents The Breakfast That Got Away.
It's been 5 years since our last morning together. I still remember your smell, your taste. I can't move on. My heart will wait as long as...
The wait is over! Carl's Jr.'s chorizo biscuit and burrito are back on the breakfast menu. Get spicy chorizo, egg, and pepper jack cheese on a made-from-scratch biscuit. Or all of that wrapped in a warm tortilla with crispy hash browns and fresh-made salsa. Get the chorizo biscuit and burrito today at Carl's Jr. Available for a limited time at participating locations.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And I gotta say, the new Taylor Swift album is pretty good.
Yeah, you've been enjoying it?
I have. This is Lover, which is the title track of the album. And honestly, it's really good.
I do have one problem with that song.
Yeah, I know what it is.
So one of the first lines there is...
the first line.
Oh, sorry, the first line is, "We can leave the Christmas lights up till January." Most people do. Like, that's common, that you leave your Christmas decorations up till New Year's. But she's saying that, oh, we can do whatever we want. Well, then change the lyric to February.
Makes a lot more sense.
Because that's too long. You shouldn't leave your Christmas lights up till February, unless you're one of those people who leaves them up all year long. And I'm not judging, I'm just saying. But, like, don't say January. That's, That's common.
That's 7 days.
7 days. 7 days. So, yeah. Other than that, it's a very, yeah. It's a very good song.
No, makes perfect.
Very fun. The video is really fun, too, because it's like a dollhouse,
mm-hmm.
and it zooms in on the different rooms of the dollhouse, and so she's in each different room, and it's really cool. A lot of her videos are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're very large budget, but they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So absolutely look that up.
So we were talking about writing soap operas, and that's a lot of content to have to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I fully agree, because we did something recently that lends me to realize that.
Yes, we through Riverfront Playhouse. We took part in a 24-hour playwright competition, which was hopefully the first annual. Hopefully we'll be able to do this competition every year, because I feel it went well. It did pretty good. And so the concept is that on Friday night, there are five writers who have paid to be a part of this competition, and each writer randomly gets a director. They literally pull the names out of a hat. And then they get a cast of three people the same way, randomly through a hat. They get about a half hour to 45 minutes to talk with their team, their director and their three actors. And then those four people leave. And then the writers were locked in Riverfront Playhouse overnight, tasked with writing a 10-minute play. And you were one of those writers.
I was.
So what did you think of the experience?
I actually had a blast. I liked the fact that this time there was so much camaraderie amongst the writers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we helped each other out. It was a competition, but it felt like we were more of a team than actually competing.
That's awesome.
It's really fun to try to force yourself to know that you have to come up with an idea, and not only an idea, but a fully fleshed out story that is 10 minutes long. In one night.
Right. Yeah, because so they left at about 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'd said you had until 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
to write a 10-minute play, which doesn't sound like a very long.
Now, we had
like
done this years ago.
10 minutes is a short play, but yeah. Still, you have to write all the dialogue.
We had done this years ago, and I had competed, and we started about 8, and I was done by 10.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I was the last one on purpose. Like, I totally took my time. In fact, I didn't continue writing. I'd stop. I'd go eat. I use my time, and I was the last one done at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's a really it forces you to be creative in a really fun way.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you have to keep in mind that people have to not only they have to direct but they have to learn blocking and memorize their lines to be on stage. Within, like, 12 hours.
Right. So you had until 6 a.m. to write your script, and then the director and the actors received the scripts at 6 a.m. and then had until 5 p.m. that day, that Saturday, to rehearse, and then we presented the shows and performed them at 7 o'clock Saturday night. So the plays went from non-existent to written, to rehearsed, to perform, all within 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it was a sight to behold. There was some really fun performances. We had a sold out theater, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had three judges who would come on, and they had score sheets that they kept track of which plays they liked, and they scored them. And then the audience also got to vote for which one they liked the best. And at the end of the evening, we gave an award to the judge's choice and an award to the audience's favorite, which happened to be the same play this year, written by Lisa Collins,
mm-hmm.
which was a very fun little story. And her script was really well written. Her actors did an amazing job, and it was very well deserved.
Yes. No, yeah, congratulations to everyone. It was a great cast. You know, everyone involved, like... you know, and our actors ran the gamut of ages.
Mm-hmm.
I think our youngest was 14,
mm-hmm.
and our oldest was, I want to say, late 70s.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I'm in my late 30s, and I honestly would not want to have to memorize lines. And, you know, kudos to them for doing that. And as a writer, you try to remember to not put it on too heavy. Like, but it's difficult as a writer to not, especially if you're a dialogue writer,
mm-hmm.
which I am. And I was really forcing myself to try to pull back and let, and kind of when writing to say, hey, I'm going to try to make this more of a reactionary look or an experience to let the director take the reins on that.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's definitely, that was a fun thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're trying to do some really fun things over at Riverfront Playhouse. The new show opens this weekend.
Yes, Frankenstein, based on the novel, of course, by Mary Shelley, mm-hmm. and adapted by Andrew Bolitar, directed by Matt McDonald, who is just a phenomenal force himself. He, works out at Shasta College. He actually teaches stage makeup, and so I cannot wait to see what he's done with this show. And it opens this Saturday. You can get your tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net, and they're starting to go fast, so make sure you go on there and you get them, because this is going to be a show I think unlike Riverfront has seen for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got a lot of special effects, and of course the makeup will be phenomenal. It's going to be quite a show.
Going to be quite the show. All right, so we'll tell you what, we will take another break, and then we will continue the stream of consciousness talking that we're doing. So you are listening to We're a Little Behind. And we will be right back.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like preventive care. Our physicians are committed to keeping you healthy with the right vaccines and wellness checks for your children. For seniors, we can review prescriptions to make sure you're on track. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
We're Billy and Patrick. For our friends at Redding Kia, we've got some great news.
The Kia Summer Clearance event is going on right now with exciting deals on every vehicle in Kia's award-winning lineup.
And the awards just keep on coming.
Kia has just been named the highest-ranked mass-market brand in initial quality 5 years in a row. Highest-ranked 5 years in a row.
And right now is a great time to celebrate this achievement with the Kia Summer Clearance event.
You'll find great savings on every new 2019 and 2020 Kia.
Like the 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento, the 2019 Kia Niro Hybrid.
I have one and I love it.
And the 2020 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage.
Every model in Kia's inventory is priced to go.
Check RedingKia.com for all the details that make a great deal at Redding Kia on Cypress Avenue in Redding.
Billy is the marketing manager at Redding Kia. For J.D. Power 2019 award information, go to jdpower.com/awards for more details.
Redding Kia Summer Clearance ends September 30th, 2019. RedingKia.com.
A Turtle Bay membership is your ticket for 300 acres of fun. With free admission, discounts, member-only events, and new traveling exhibitions throughout the year. Plus discounts at Sheraton Redding Hotel, Mosaic Restaurant, and more. Your membership gives you year-round access for less than $8 a month. For two adults and up to four kids for a full year from date of purchase. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Play, discover, learn. For more information, visit turtlebay.org.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
He's alive!
Mary Shelley's spine-tingling classic comes to the Reading stage in all its theatrical glory.
Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Frankenstein, written by Mary Shelley, adapted by Andrew Billiter, directed by Matt McDonald. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 21st through October 19th. Come see a show unlike anything you've seen on the Riverfront stage before, if you dare.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And before the break, we were talking about writing and how, you know, it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have shows like this. Does this sound familiar?
Oh, this is Dexter.
Yeah. Have we talked about this on the show before? We've been doing this show for almost 2 years now. I think in like 2 weeks will be our 2 year anniversary.
Yeah.
And all I can say is that I loved the first season, but the last
you can pretty much stop at season one.
You can, yeah.
Like, you can watch a couple more seasons in, but really, the last season is unnecessary.
Three's good.
And angering.
Three's good. Well, I won't get into it. I just thought of that. I'm like, just want to point out the fact that, because with so many things that are good and good writing, that, you know, there's that.
Yeah. So, we only have a couple minutes left, but I figured we'd talk about things we're excited to not be behind on, things that we're excited coming out. Because there's a couple of pretty good movies coming out before the end of the year. So, you know, September's already almost gone as far as that's concerned. But in October, we get Joker, which, honestly, I'm not excited about. I know people are there's a lot of buzz around it. They're already talking Oscar.
I'm holding out judgment. It's one of the ones I don't want to prejudge, but I don't want to get excited for either.
I don't know. I guess I'm just tired of Joker. You know, Jared Leto in Suicide Squad was so disappointing to me that I'm done. I don't need any more Jokers. I'm good with Cameron Moynihan on Gotham and Heath Ledger and Mark Hamill. I'm good. I don't need any more Joker.
I even think Jack Nicholson was good.
Yeah.
Like, I just think Jared Leto was bad.
Yeah, he was. Also in October, we have Gemini Man.
Again, this is one of those things where it's casting, and people should not be doing these things.
That's true. So we have Gemini Man coming out, which is Will Smith playing both himself and a younger clone of himself, who are both assassins, and it looks amazing. And I don't know if maybe it's just the trailer has a very awesome rendition of Forever Young that is very, oh my gosh, it pulls me in.
Yeah, this. Very intense.
Very intense and epic. And it's used in this trailer beautifully.
Well, it looks like you're going to get... it looks like you're going to get out of Gemini Man what they were trying to go for with Looper.
Looper was so terrible. I wanted to like Looper so much. Because with that, you had Bruce Willis and...
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt as the same person in different timelines. But their time travel theory and their approach to time travel didn't work. It didn't make sense.
Yeah.
And so that's what really killed that movie.
I think they have the technology now to make Will Smith younger.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole Marvel thing with making Robert Downey Jr. look like a teenager and aging down Samuel L. Jackson and Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
It looks pretty convincing. And so this one's not time travel, so that's what's going to save it.
We have the technology and the money.
Yes. Also coming out is the Addams Family remake, which is an animated movie with an amazing cast.
Mm-hmm.
The cast on this, I mean, Finn Wolfhard, who is one of my favorites right now, Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz,
Oscar Isaac,
Isaac plays Gomez.
What's his name? Is Uncle Fester.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. Like, it looks everything I've seen
Nick
from.
Nick Kroll, there we go. Yeah, I'm going to get this eventually.
I mean, Allison Janney is in it. I mean, it's going to be amazing. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
So we'll absolutely be seeing that. Also, we get some sequels that are looking better. I feel like Hollywood's getting better about their sequels. Like, they're getting better at making them.
You're treading a fine line with less than a minute to go.
Well, we have Maleficent and Zombieland.
Okay.
Both of those first movies were amazing, and so I'm really hopeful for the sequels.
Yeah.
So that's what we have to look forward to next month.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
All right, so we're a little behind on getting our stuff up on our website, but you can still catch some older episodes.
Absolutely.
At GomezCast.com.
And on iTunes and Spotify.
All of those things are available to you. So if you want to catch the classics.
Yeah.
We've been saving the newer ones for reruns.
That's right.
When we run out of time. All right, so that is it. Thank you for joining us, and you've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
A good night.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.